Father, we give you praise tonight because you are worthy. Lord Jesus, we give you praise tonight because you are worthy. Blessed Holy Spirit, we give you praise tonight because you are worthy. As we go into this time of the word, we are asking for your mercies, O our God, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the help of the Holy Spirit to be sufficient for us. First for me to minister as your oracle, O Triune Majesty, and for every one of us to receive your word, not as a word of man, but as a word of God, which is able to build us up and give us our inheritance among the saints. Father, we thank you for a free course from your word. A free course of your word from you through our fathers, through me, unto every one of us here, and all those that are connecting with us directly or remotely on the internet and the mass media. We bless your name. As you cause your word, O God, to bring light, to bring understanding, and by it to usher us into these new realms that you have been speaking of, so that, Lord, we will take root downward and will bring forth fruit upward, that you might be glorified. Thank you for unprecedented open heavens. Thank you for the visions of God. Thank you for your word that come expressly. Blessed be your name for your hand that is stretched forth to confirm your word with signs and wonders in our lives, in all our situations. Blessed be your name as you cause every one of us to be met at the point of our need, as you cause us all by this word to be taken from strength to strength, faith to faith, victory to victory, and glory unto glory, to become more like Jesus within and without, and so fulfill your good pleasure for us in this hour. We love you, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We say, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let the increase of your government and peace in and amongst us be without end. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Psalms. We're reading from the Amplified Bible. Okay, please read together with me. Say, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are the people who know the joyful sound, who understand and appreciate the spiritual blessings symbolized by the feast. They walk, O Lord, in the light and favor of your countenance. Verse 16. In your name they rejoice all the day, and in your righteousness they are exalted. Yes, verse 17. For you are the glory of their strength, their proud adornment, and by your favor our horn is exalted, and we walked with uplifted faces. Amen. Okay. Amen. There's another amplifier. I think it's okay, let me read what I have here, and then I will share with you some. Blessed and happy are the people who know the joyful sound of the trumpet blast. They walk, O Lord, in the light and favor of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all the day, and in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, their proud adornment, and by your favor our own is exalted. I want to minister unto us on knowing and following the prophetic. Now, from this verse, the word joyful sound is called the joyful sound of the trumpet blast. Of course, we know that it is the trumpet they used to announce the feast. We know that there are three feasts in Israel. We have the first feast has been fulfilled in us. The second feast has been fulfilled. It's the third feast, the fullness of it, that we're waiting for. Now, the trumpet blast represents the prophetic voice. announcing that the feast is imminent. In Isaiah 58 verse 1, it tells us, say, cry aloud. Can I have that? Isaiah 58 verse 1. Say, cry aloud. Yes, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. I'm establishing to us that the trumpetic blast is the prophetic voice. Now, the prophetic voice declaring that we are on the verge of the greatest of the feast, the fullness of it, which represents, the Feast of Tabernacles, in which the glory of God will be fully manifest, and all that. Now, the Bible is telling us now that there is a people who know that joyful sound. There's a people who know and recognize the prophetic voice that is declaring that, the coming of that feast. And when these people who know and they follow the prophetic, they will walk into the fullness of the blessings of God. Amen. They will walk in the light and the favor of God's face, God's countenance. Yes. And they will walk in the fullness of the joy of God, and they will walk in the glory of divine strength, and their horn will be exalted. Exalted is upgrade. We have had that and all that. Now, praise the Lord. So, let me first establish to us that knowing and following the prophetic in this hour is our main key. It's our main key to the true blessings and the full inheritance and rejoicing and happiness that God has for us in this forthcoming feast, in this feast that is imminent, the feast of the fullness of the glory of God in which we will inherit. Knowing and following the prophetic in this hour is our key to enjoying the light and the favor of God's face. We see that in those scriptures I've just read. Is our key to inheriting the glory of God, the strength of God, the promotion or the upgrade that has been prophesied. Amen. Amen. Now, what do we mean by the prophetic? It shouldn't be strange to us, but for the purpose of for definition, let's just mention. Amen. The prophetic is a word or a revelation or a manifestation of the present or immediate future purposes of God brought forth to us by the preaching, the teaching, the prophesying, or the actions of the prophets of God in our midst. I shall repeat that. Okay. Amen. What is the prophetic? It's either a word or a revelation or a manifestation of the present or the immediate future purposes of God brought forth to us by the preaching, the teaching, and the prophesying, or the actions of the prophets of God. Amen. Amen. I can mention some that has come forth in recent times. One of the ones that have come forth in recent times is that, amen, Joel chapter 2 verse 23. He said, be glad, ye children of Zion, and rejoice, because God has given you the former rain moderately, but it will cause to come down for you now the former and the latter rain together. Amen. In the same month together. Then he now continues so many things. He said, the floor that shall be full of wheat and all that, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And all that, and he said, my people shall not be ashamed. Amen. Now, the prophetic can manifest in word, it can manifest in revelation, it can manifest, in action, and all that. Let me give you an example. Praise the Lord. Amen. John the Baptist was going to, amen, bring the prophetic about what God is going to do next, which is imminent. And he came with a prophetic action, baptism. Because the baptism will identify the one that will open it. Of course, he preached. Amen. But the baptism unveiled it. Without the baptism, we will not have recognized the Lord. That's the action of the prophet. Amen. There was a time that mommy did that here. During intercession, they just took the flag and they shouted, "Grace, grace, grace," until you say, "Ah, what is this?" But that shouting of grace and grace brought a new era in the nation. It brought an end to a military rule and the unfolding of the democracy. Do you understand? Now, that's a prophetic. Now, it must be a prophetic action. It can come by preaching, it can come by teaching, it can come by an action. And the most important thing is, it is the prophetic. It must be recognized and it must be believed and followed. Amen. 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 Why follow the prophetic? It's a short message. Number one, because therein lies our prosperity and profiting, especially in all divine purposes. Pastor has shared these scriptures with us so many times. Amen. That the prophet is typified by the sons of Issachar. They have understanding of the times. Where is it? They have the understanding of the times and knowledge of what Israel ought to do. Amen. Amen. Now, God's purposes are in times and seasons. Amen. It's the prophet that shows us the times and season and shows us what we should do in the times so that we can enter into the prophecy. So without the prophet, you will not enter. Without the prophetic. So the prophetic is very crucial, especially in this last move of God. Amen. It will be led by the prophetic and we will enter in the fullness of it by the prophetic. Amen. Let's read the scripture. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. I said, why follow the prophetic? Why recognize and follow the prophetic? Why must we? Because therein lies our prosperity and profiting, especially in all divine purposes. 2 Chronicles 20, 20. We just read the last part. We are familiar with it. It said, believe that C part. He said, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established, and believe his prophet, so shall you prosper. Now, it's not just talking about natural prosperity, even though it covers that. We have seen how the prophetic brought people into prosperity. They see that dimension. But deeper than that, are the purposes of God, which heaven and earth hangs upon, especially this purpose of God for the consummation, the end of the age. Amen. Amen. So, there are two things here. There's believing in the Lord your God, and there's believing in his servant, the prophet. Amen. There's believing in the Lord your God. It will make you to be established. I mean, you will take root downward. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the prosperity and the fruitfulness comes by taking heed and believing the prophet. Amen. Amen. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. Can I have that? 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. Pastor has been ministering on this in recent times. Now, he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. That's clear. But the phrase I want to use is, he said, whereunto you will do well that you take heed unto. So when you don't take heed to the prophetic, you are not doing well. You cannot do well if you don't take heed to the prophetic. Because, amen, listen, we are in a dark place. So if you don't follow the prophetic, you walk in darkness. And you cannot walk in darkness and do well. You will stumble.
The Bible says, darkness covered the heart, draws darkness the people. Amen. But there's a set of people that light is upon, the people that take it to the prophetic. Amen. 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 So, whereunto you will do well, that you take it unto as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your glory. When that sun of righteousness rise in his glory. And we are clothed with that glory, like Pastor has been sharing with us. Amen. So, in knowing, recognizing, and following the prophetic amongst us, lies in our prosperity and our profiting. Our profiting in the divine purposes that we have. Let's see Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. It said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into it, any of us should seem to come short of it. Now, there's a promise of glory ahead, imminent. There's a promise, you know, of great and mighty things that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered the heart of men, but God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. Yet, he says, we should exercise the fear of God. Why? Because the fact that a promise has been made, something has been prepared, does not guarantee that you will inherit it. Now, what will make you inherit it? Let's see verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached or prophesied, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not mixed with faith in them that had it. So, the prophetic word must be mixed with faith for it to profit us. To be mixed with faith means to act upon it, to follow it. Amen. To let it rule your actions. Only by the prophetic word can we stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Number two. Why must we recognize and follow the prophetic? Because by the prophetic we will be completely and prosperously built up to obtain our inheritance of glory among the saints. Let's go to Exodus chapter 6, verse 14. Only by the prophetic we will be built up completely and prosperously to obtain our inheritance, especially of this glory of God among the saints. Now, in Exodus chapter 6, verse 14, it says, the elders of the Jews, can we read together? The elders of the Jews builded and prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, according to the commandment of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, the king of Persia. Now, praise the Lord. Now, you need to understand this. Let me just... You are familiar with Zechariah, have you? That place that you normally read, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Zerubbabel will finish this house. It's how started it. And those were part of the prophecy. So, they were not only building, there were prophetic words, do you understand me? That were empowering them, prospering the building, so that it continued or it was finished. Amen. So it was not only physical building, there was also a spiritual dimension there. Is it clear? Amen. Now, that building represents the church. Amen. The body of Christ. And every one of us is a stone in that building. So it will take the prophetic to build the building and to build each one of us. That was why when Apostle Paul was leaving them in Ephesus, Acts chapter 20 verse 32. He said, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace, which I have prophesied to you. That word will do what? Build you up and give you your inheritance among the saints. Amen. 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 So what are we saying? If we will be completely and prosperously built, we must follow the prophetic to the end. Amen. Amen. Okay, time won't afford. Let me just mention it. When you read all the prophecy, they said that Zechariah and Haggai prophesied. It wasn't just one prophecy. When you go at the beginning, the people didn't even want to build. It was the prophesying of Zechariah that stirred up their spirit. Both Zechariah, both Zerubbabel, Joshua, and all the remnant of the people that stirred up their spirit to even come and build. Then when they started building, the enemy arose. And all kinds of decrees began to move. So it took prophesying again to overcome the enemy for them to continue building. And it went through four kings. It took prophecy to get those kings, the heart of those kings. Do you understand me? To be aligned and to support the will of God until the building is finished. I'm here to tell you that by the prophetic, you too, you'll be completely built up. Amen. Prosperously finished. Amen. You will inherit the glory of God. You will manifest it. Your job is to recognize the prophetic and follow it. Amen. Someone say, recognize the prophetic and follow it. Amen. Number three, by the prophetic we are delivered from all captivity and preserved unto the full salvation that is to be revealed in these last times. Can I say, by the prophetic we are delivered from all captivity and preserved unto the full salvation that is to be revealed in this time. Hosea chapter 12 verse 13. Before we go to the New Testament equivalent. Hosea chapter 12 verse 13. It said, by a prophet, can I hear you? And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet, he was preserved. Let's repeat it. By a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. Amen. We know that prophet, that's Moses. Amen. He took different multifaceted declaration of the purposes and the will of God over Pharaoh until finally in Egypt. Until finally, he let the people go. And it took 40 years of prophesying to preserve those people in the wilderness until Israel came into the promised land. Amen. The people that did not recognize and follow the prophet, they died in the wilderness. Now, the prophet brought them out, but they did not enter. That's what we read in Hebrews chapter 4. Amen. 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 Now, what captivity is the prophetic delivering us from now? Exactly, what captivity? Romans chapter 8. We said by the prophetic will be delivered from all captivity, but there's a particular captivity that the Bible mentions. The Bible calls it the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Let me rephrase that. The glorious liberty of the children of God means the liberty that the glory of God bequeaths them when they inherit it. Hello? I should repeat that. When we say the glorious liberty of the children of God, you know, is opaque. The glorious liberty of the children of God is the liberty that the glory of God brings the children of God into when they inherit it. Amen. And creation too. Do you understand me? We see that liberty and comfort. Praise the Lord. Let's read Romans chapter 8. It's actually verse 21, so that we go straight to the point. Because creation also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Amen. Like Pastor has taught us, a part of us, amen, has already experienced some measure of the liberty. That's our spirit. That's why it's groaning together with the Holy Spirit. So that the other parts can enter into that liberty. Our will will enter into it. Amen. Our mind will enter into it. Our emotions will enter into it. Our bodies will enter into it. Do you understand? Amen. So our body will be fully free from dominion of sin. Amen. Then zero sin rate will be a reality. Do you understand what I mean? Amen. Our mind will be completely free so that I can operate as the minder of Christ. That's what Pastor has been telling us, have you? Amen. But it's the glory that will bring that fullness. Sir? A mind that is totally saved. Amen. Okay. Quickly, I just want to mention some examples of people who recognize the prophetic and amen, and followed it, and you know, for an encouragement. Now, the first, you know, there are two kind of examples I have. I have positive example, I have negative example. You know why? The negative example tells you what to run from. Yes. Amen. Now, but let's mention the first, the positive example first. Now, Elisha is one of the examples we want to mention. He recognized and followed the prophetic in Elijah. Do you know that Elijah tried to stop him from following many times? The guy swore. He said, as thy soul liveth, I will not. And he followed on to the end. We know that he followed for many years, 20 years or more. But the issue is that he recognized and he followed it. And he followed to the end and he inherited the glory. That's a pattern. Every set of people, saints, that recognize the prophetic and follow to the end, we inherit the glory. It's a sure pattern. Amen. Amen. Two disciples of John the Baptist. Now, John that prophesied did not follow to the end. He didn't recognize the prophetic. He recognized at the beginning, but didn't follow to the end. So he did not inherit the fullness of his glory that he was supposed to. But two disciples that followed him, they were standing with him one day, and Jesus was passing. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world, the one that I've been prophesying to you, that is the one is going to carry the Spirit without measure and all that. So that's the person. Could they come and tell him, we shouldn't follow you again. That's the person we should follow. Amen. And the Bible said they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know them. Andrew, John, and they find their brother Peter, and they became apostles of the Lamb. And through them, we know, they inherited the glory, and through them, we know what God did. Amen. In Acts of Apostles, up to the end, in island of Patmos, John. But the key thing is that they heard about the prophetic, they recognized it, and they followed. They followed unto the end. Amen. So that's the key. Recognizing the prophetic and following to the end. Amen. Okay, let me mention a negative example. Now, Elisha followed Elijah. What did he inherit? Now, when Gehazi followed Elisha, what was he supposed to inherit? So it will have been the amen, double portion of Elisha, which is quadruple portion, what did you call it, sir? Quadruple portion of Elijah. Now, something was prepared for him. Now, he recognized the prophetic, but he didn't follow. You know what he followed? He followed covetousness. What did he inherit? He inherited the leprosy of Naaman. He didn't hear it even for himself. He and his generation. I can tell you all the lepers that Jesus started healing when he came, some of them were the children of. I didn't say all of them, just some of them. But look at, a promise was left for him. Did you see? It was prepared for him, but he was looking for something else. Thank you, sir. What seekest thou? Amen. 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 Inherited leprosy instead of a quadruple portion. Not only himself, his generation. That was what Pastor was trying to say. There are some things that you do, it affects your generation. Amen. Levi was in the loins of Abraham when Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek. So all the blessings that Melchizedek gave to Abraham got down to Levi. Levi is the fourth generation. Abraham gave birth to Isaac. Isaac gave birth to Jacob and Esau. And gave birth to Levi. So the blessing, why Levi has not even thought, he was still in the realm of thought, yet a blessing was already rest upon him because his father did something right. Amen. Thank you, sir. A good man leaves inheritance for his children's children. Amen. You must recognize and follow the prophet, even, not only for yourself, your children and your children's children will partake. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29, the Lord says something. He said, I will have a people that will fear me and keep my commandments so that it will be well with them and their seed forever. Someone say forever. Oh, that there was such an heart in them that they will fear me, keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Someone say forever. What you do affects you and affects your children. Forever. That's what they call generational blessing or generational curses. What Gehazi gave to his children was generational curses. God forbid. So we are to follow the prophetic. Why? Amen. So that we can hear what is prepared for us and our children can be partaker of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. There was one Lord that the king in Samaria leaned upon. That Mr. Ban Wakan said, when he's looking for advice, is that Lord? I say, okay, what do you have to say about this matter? Now, there was a siege in Samaria. He couldn't bring a counsel to solve the siege. All the while, before Elijah came and prophesied, the king has been leaning on him. He couldn't bring anything to solve the siege. The siege was so much that they started eating their children and those dumb. And the king got angry one day when somebody told him that we killed my child yesterday, we ate it, this one now took his side. We say, hey, oh, I'm going to cut off the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat. What has Elisha done? You know, he felt that Elisha was responsible. You know why? The last time the Syria attacked, it was Elijah that said, don't touch them. Just feed them and send them back to their master. They won't come back and lay a siege against us. Now we are eating our children. But Elijah has an answer. So why the king was coming? Why the elders were before him? He said, by this time tomorrow, there shall be abundance. Amen. Amen. Such has not been seen in Samaria, the great Samaria, there shall be the king, the Lord that the king leans and says, even if God opened the windows of heaven, can this and he limited the Holy One of Israel. You know why people always err? They know not the word, not the power of the Spirit of God. And why that word was still coming out of his mouth, another word prophetic, and said, well, you will see it, not you. Yeah, you will follow the prophetic now. Or are you planning not to follow to the end? He said, you will see, but you will not taste of it. Anyway, let's not taste too much word. The prophetic work into action. How is, in fact, that story, if you read, is only God that can. Is you can't explain it logically. Amen. Four lepers started to move, and the Syrians started hearing a host. So the prophetic multiplied their footsteps and turned it into the footstep of a host. And thank you, sir. Amplified and multiplied. Amen. And they had a host of army. So much that fear was, and they ran away and they left. Anyway, they gathered everything, sir. Eventually, there was abundance. Since it's the Lord that the king leaned on, said, you have to help me supervise this thing. The people have been everything. Look, let me get my own. They trample upon him, even at the gate. So he saw the abundance that was prophesied. But he did not enter. He did not eat of it. Why? He did not recognize and follow the prophetic to the end. Amen. Okay. Let's talk about the Lord Jesus, who is the highest of the prophetic. It's a negative example in Israel. I mean, Jesus is the prophet. The Bible says he came to his own town in Nazareth. They didn't see the prophet in him. You know what they saw in him? The carpenter. The Bible says, we know no man after the flesh. Yes, he is Joseph's son, but is now more than Joseph's son. Something has come upon him at the baptism in Jordan. But they missed it. The Bible says, and he opened the Bible to Isaiah chapter 61. Is it 61? Yeah. Amen. That thing that mommy is declaring unto us now. The year of Jubilee. The year of the Lord's favor. Do you understand me? That the poor should no more be poor. The sick should be no more be poor. Sick. The anointing destroys the yoke and all that. Instead of receiving the prophetic, they were... Where did he get this kind of words from? Is it not the Johnson? His brother and sister are not here with us. They even mentioned some of his brothers. Amen. They got mad. They were offended at him. The Bible says, he could dare do no mighty work. In fact, they wanted to kill him. And of course, he was delivered and all that. Now, the same applies to Israel. They knew not the day of. He said, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how I have longed to gather you together and cover you with. But you will not. Therefore, your land is left unto you desolate. Amen. And that's how the riches of that glory, the prophetic, came to the Gentile. Because the people that he brought it to didn't recognize. He said, a prophet is not without honor, except among his own country, his own kin and family. We shouldn't repeat the mistake. We should learn. Our prophets should be with honor. We should, thank you, Pastor David, double honor. Amen. 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 So, Jesus told us certain things. He said, in the days of Elijah, there were many widows in Israel, but to none of them was Elijah sent, except a widow in Zarephath. Zarephath is not in Israel, it's in Sidon. He said, there were many lepers in the days of Elisha, but to none of them was Elijah sent, unto Naaman the Syrian. Why? Because the people among whom the prophet dwelt did not know, recognize, or follow the prophetic. Amen. Amen. Somewhere in the Bible, three kings went to war. They called Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahab, Jehoshaphat, and the king of Edom. And they set war. They want to go and conquer one of the kings that rebelled. And while they were in the way, alas, there was no water for them, and for their cattle, and for the army. And we already know that's suicide. They are going to die of hunger and thirst instead of the enemy killing them. So the king of Israel, the son of Ahab, said, "Ah, alas, God wants to finish us. That's why he has." Then Jehoshaphat, who understands, amen, the prophetic, and who knows how the prophetic has saved him and his fathers as many times, said, "Is there no prophet that we can inquire from the Lord there?" Then somebody said, "Ah, there is Elisha, the son of Shaphat here. He poured water on the hand of Elijah." Ah, he said, "Let's go and meet him. Let's go. The word of God is with him." And when they got there, Elijah said, "I won't see your face. Go and meet the prophet of your father. If not for Jehoshaphat, who is the righteous king." The prophetic is not for the unrighteous. It's for the righteous. Amen. That's why the prophetic is not a joyful sound to the wicked. Because the prophetic is pronouncing judgment upon the wicked if he does not repent. It's favor to the righteous and vengeance to the wicked, the goodness and the severe. So anyway, Elijah said, "Okay, if not for Jehoshaphat, okay, bring me a minstrel and a minstrel minister." And the Bible said, "The hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, 'Thus hear the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. You will not see rain, and you will not see wind, yet this valley shall be full with water.'" Amen. You know, the things that bring rain are the wind and rain. So you won't see either. Yeah, there will be water. You know what happened? The next morning, I don't know what God did. Probably he went to the top of the mountains and melted some snow. And there was water. Water flowed. And the valleys were full of water. And their enemy saw the sun shining on the water. They said, "Ah, this is blood. They have killed themselves." Anyway, that was how they finished the enemy. By the prophetic. By the only one person that recognized and followed the prophetic brought victory and saved a army of three nations. Now, what are we saying? Very simple. We must recognize the prophetic in our midst. And we must follow the prophetic to the end. Therein lies our full salvation and the inheritance of the glory. Amen. How to know the true prophet? Pastor has taught us many times, so I won't, you know, say much about that. Number one, by their fruit. Jesus said it. Said, "By their fruit you will know them." The fruit of character, meekness of heart, honesty of heart, love, godliness. Amen. Peaceableness, easy to be entreated. Amen. Integrity, both financial, moral, and spiritual integrity. Of course, we see that in our parents. Amen. Amen. There are so many scriptures we can read. Let's just read one. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Okay, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Yes? "You shall know them by..." Who said that? Amen. Just like we know every tree by its fruit. Praise the Lord. The characteristic of true prophets is their character. Amen. Love exemplified, meekness exemplified, honest integrity, fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Also, number two, by the good treasure of wisdom and revelation in them, rightly dividing the word of God, bringing out of obscure scripture that you can't see anything there. Luke chapter 6 verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. What we are bringing out is that, you know, by the good treasure of wisdom and revelation in your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And finally, by the confirmation of their word in the lives of those that believe it, with fruits to show. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Dewey. Amen. You are our epistles, known, Abby, written by the Spirit of God, known and read by all men. We don't need any special letter or recommendation. Just look at their lives. I remember when we were doing school of ministry. That was about 19 years ago, 2001. Now, someone said, he said, just look at Pastor. Look at all this product. Can you see commitment to integrity, truth, the word of God? Do you understand what I mean? When you look at the fruit of their words in the lives of those that are hearing them and following, you will see the word of God confirmed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Finally, how to follow the prophetic? It's very simple. Someone say, by believing. Say, by believing. Believe in the servant, the prophet, so shall you prosper. Why will it take away? Because what the prophet will declare, you can't reason it out. So you have to believe it by faith. The only way you can follow the kind of prophecy that is coming out in this house is to believe. Because if you want to reason, amen. So this body, manifest the glory of God. The life of God will be fully manifest in it. So this body will be raised out of the dead and experience resurrection while still in the body. The mind, the wisdom greater than wisdom of Solomon. Wisdom of Solomon, go catch a shirin, you know? Do you understand? Amen. Yet, is that, I said Solomon is entry level. Hello? 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 Amen. So, the only way you can follow the prophetic is by believing. That's why it was difficult for that Lord that the king leaned on. Because there's no way you can imagine a city that's been under siege for close to a year and imagine that by this time tomorrow, 24 hours, there will be abundance that they have never seen for 1 year. So we are not talking about the natural. He was thinking natural. Amen. That's why Pastor said, just keep rowing in faith. Abi, you can do your rowing. And suddenly he will walk on the water. When he enters a boat, we will get to the other side. But you have to do your part. You have to row in faith. Even when it looks as if you are not going to, just keep rowing. Amen. Just keep applying the principle. Amen. Applying in faith the principles of perfection. You are moving ahead. You are making progress. Not outwardly, but inwardly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, sir. It does not yet appear what it shall be. But when it appears, it's going to appear. We will see. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, when the prophetic is coming, don't despise it. Just because you can't explain it. What do you think Mary should have done? At least Zechariah had an example. Father Abraham, holding age. Mary doesn't have an example. That was why Zechariah was judged. He had an example. He was very stricken in it. And there's somebody who has gone through that route. And as a seed of Abraham, a partaker of that. But Mary didn't have that. He doesn't have an example. There's never been a woman that brought forth without any man. They say, oh, behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me. Amen. That's what Pastor said, if you believed. Amen. Just like resurrection life quickened the body of Abraham and it was regenerated. Amen. Amen. Christ will be formed, born, glorified in our flesh. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the only way is believing it. So don't despise prophesying. Hold fast to it. Amen. That which is good. Let's read that scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:20. Okay, despise not prophesying, verse 21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. What do you use to prove? Go to the word. Find it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have a more sure word of prophecy, which we do well to take it unto. Amen. The second thing on how to follow the prophet is that, amen, you have to operate in self-denial. I'm going to use the story of somebody to explain it. Peter. You see, as long as you don't deny yourself, you will always use your selfish desires to interpret the prophetic. Now, Peter had an experience. God gave him a revelation. This is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And you know what Jesus said to him? He said, blessed are thou, O Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed to you, but my Father which is in heaven. I will give you the keys of the heaven, whatever you bind and all that. I mean, he commended Peter. So, seeing that Peter has gotten a revelation, he now began to show him further revelation. He began to say, the Son of Man is going to go to Jerusalem. And the elders will take him. And they will crucify him. And on the third day, he will rise again. Now, they didn't wait until he said the third day. They will kill you. Peter, kill you. I reject that for you. We left the fishing boat, fishing business, everything to follow you. And you want to die. If you die, what is our hope? Hello? So Jesus answered and said, get thee behind me, Peter. Because you love not the things of God, but the things of men. Amen. If any man, that's why he said that scripture. Are you there? Verse 24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's the link. If you don't deny yourself, you will misinterpret the prophetic. You will see it from your own perspective, rather from the perspective of God. And God said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Amen. You can't have your service agenda and interpret the prophetic well. So you'll be wrongly dividing the prophetic word that is coming to you because you have not denied. Amen. So we follow that. To follow the prophetic, can you see follow there? Jesus is the main prophetic, isn't he? To follow him, you must deny yourself, you must take your cross. That means you must crucify the lust and affection of your heart, of your flesh. Then will you see clearly to follow. Amen. Amen. In conclusion, let's read Mark 6:4. In conclusion. Okay, Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, and is in his own house. That means a prophet has honor all the time, except among the people that see the prophet all the time. Familiarity. Why? You can see the human side of the prophet. You have seen it, and you see most of the time. But the divine part is when it is in manifestation that you see it. But it's always there. Just like Pastor was telling us about the Lord Jesus Christ, that glory that he showed them on the Mount of Transfiguration has always been there. He just went to Ewudielare and he covered, because he can't look at it every day. If the prophetic is in full manifestation every day, you know why? Say, went not my high with you? When you turn like this and you told a lie to that brother, that means, hello, you came to church today, they read your mail. You come to church tomorrow, amen. That's what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. If you come to church, three people just fell down because, God forbid, that church, amen. So God measured it. The prophetic is there. But God, out of compassion, is giving us a measure of form that we can handle until we mature, until our work is perfect, so that we can see the full manifestation. Amen. The prophetic is amongst us. We must not fall into this error. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 12 and 13, and I will round up with that. But we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor amongst you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, verse 13, to esteem them very highly in love for their worth's sake, and be at peace among yourself. So let us honor the prophetic in our midst. Let's highly esteem, believe, and follow the prophetic in our midst. Upon this hang our destiny, all of it. Upon it hang all our making, our calling, and election sure. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord another round of offering, clap of him. That's a good word. And that's a word for this season we're living in. I just felt a bit an urge or leading to just speak about one or two things, particularly what he just said about the prophet not being with honor except in his own country. Give me that scripture again, Mark 6, I think, Mark 6, chapter 6, verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet, that is the Lord Jesus saying this, which means that you can take it to the bank. And can you imagine, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the pattern for the prophet. He says, a prophet, no, he says, I am not without honor, but in my own country and among my own kin. I'm reading that as it was, as it affects him personally. And the reason why I'm doing so, he says, I am not without honor, but in my own country and among my own kin and in my own house. He owns the house, and yet he doesn't have honor in his own house. Now, I've always known this, and like Pastor Barry was saying so clearly, the reason is very simple. It's because after a while, when you've been coming with somebody who has a prophetic anointing upon the person, and you're familiar with the person, you've seen the person, you know, in all manner of settings, you get to a point where you begin to see yourself as equals, and you begin to think, well, you know, here a little, there a little, umami say lekoko, and the result of that is a familiarity that should never be allowed. This is not the will of God. This is not, it happened. Jesus said it doesn't mean that it's his will. It is never the will of God for you to take not just the prophet, but even, you know, anybody in authority, anybody that has authority. You must never get to a point where you are familiar with all their faults, and so you don't take them seriously anymore. Because like Pastor Brian said, that anointing is there even though you cannot see it, or even though at that point in time it does not relate to you. So we need to be very, very, very careful. There's another scripture that the Lord flashed into my mind. I knew it a long time ago, but I just came to mind as I was talking to Pastor Lee. Now, we need to be very careful in this day. Because like he has quite rightly said, the prophetic is one of the key factors that's going to bring us to our inheritance. The other one is the prophetic. He didn't say the apostolic. He didn't say too much about that. But that's also very important, the prophetic and apostolic. The apostolic, actually, Pastor Ibrahim, the apostolic is always first. But you see, the prophet speaks about the understanding of the times and seasons. He has understanding of times and what Israel ought to do. But how does Israel do what they ought to do? That's the prerogative of the apostle. In fact, if you look at it in Ephesians chapter 2, I think verse 20, it says the apostle first, then the prophet. The apostle is a wise master builder. It's the apostle that establishes you in that purpose. The apostle has the wisdom to outline what you must do to walk in the understanding of the word that the prophet has given. So it's always the apostle first. Paul said it. He says, the wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. That's why the Bible says that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Because they have the wisdom. They have the understanding of what you must do, the interests and details. Like Pastor tells us, the instruction of the how of the how. Concerning what to do in order to prosper in what the prophet has declared as is for this season. Amen? So it's very, very important. Even in where he was listing the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, firstly, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. So even though the prophetic is, let's say, more spectacular, it is very, very important. It's part of, there's a two-pronged thing about the apostles and the prophet. Both are essential for growth. Those are the two major witnesses. Thank you, Pastor D. And then also the two major anointings that are going to build up the Zion Church and bring us into the fullness of what we've been talking about. Now, I want to share that scripture quickly before we begin to close and then we pray. Let's look at Hosea chapter 9, verse 8. This is an old... I haven't read this in such a long time. Look at this. It says, the watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of the fowler in all his ways. And what? Say that word. What does that mean? What it means is that the prophet, because of the anointing upon him, he sees everything. I mean, by the power of the Holy Spirit, of course. Not that he sees everything that you are doing, but he has an understanding of what's going on. And because he knows and sees things that are not obvious to people, prophets, for example, everybody looks like everything is going well, everything is going fine, everything is going hunky-dory, and then the prophet comes and says, no, everything is going wrong. Person is seeing what you don't see, and you're wondering, what in the world is this person talking about? I mean, look at my son, everything's fine, it's all going well, and you get very angry, and instead of correcting yourself in line with the prophet, you begin to hate the person who brought the message. That's why it says, it's hatred in the house of God. It should not be so. This is not the will of God. And we need to be very, very, very careful in this end time, because you are not, I am not, we are not going to get to where we're going without the prophetic, the word of the prophet, and then the apostolic word. Those are the two anointings that are going to take the church to the fullness of what God wants us to enter into. So we must, like he said, acknowledge the prophets and apostles in our midst. By the grace of God, we are truly privileged. We have both an apostle, plus an apostolic anointing, and also a prophetic anointing as our fathers. That's why the Bible said, look unto Abraham and Sarah. In our particular instance, Abraham is the apostolic, and Sarah is a prophetic. And it's a twofold cord that cannot be broken. The two of them are essential for us to enter into Zion. So we need to be very, very careful. And it's so easy to fall into that trap. And that's why I'm hopping upon that. We need to be very careful. Familiarity with the prophetic and the apostolic can be deadly in a decision. It will not rob you of your destiny in Jesus' name. If you look at those, Jesus, as powerful, as wonderful, as all them, he couldn't do anything. But he would go elsewhere and healings would take place. And, we need to be very careful. You need to be very, very, very careful. So these are the two things I just wanted to mention, that we must recognize the apostolic anointing as well as a prophetic anointing. Amen. The Lord Jesus said that they knew not the day of their visitation in Jerusalem. That was a serious one. God sent the very person that was to deliver them, and they didn't know, and they crucified him. Now, we don't crucify apostles and prophets anymore, but you stone them with the words of the mouth, actions, you know, our obstinacy, refusing to walk in the words of the word. It's not a physical death, but the way we treat them in our hearts, in our understanding, the honor we give them, all these are critical now. Critical. And God is watching the hearts. Everybody's silent. It's true. God is watching your heart attitude. He can read your heart. I can read your heart. Even the prophet can read your heart, except the Lord shows. But that heart attitude is so critical. And God is watching it all the time. You won't get away with it. Not in this dispensation. I know. Jesus didn't get it. And what Jesus came to do was to deliver Jerusalem from that destruction of AD 70. That's why he came. But they did not know the day of his visitation, and as soon as he left, it didn't happen immediately, but it happened all the same. Set in motion, exactly. So because they did not give honor to the prophetic, that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So please, let's be very careful. I want to thank God for the word that came today and say there's a word in season, because the time has come. The time has come to acknowledge the apostle. The time has come to acknowledge the prophetic. And I want to say that even though there's anointings on people, there are people in this house that have those two anointings on them, pastor and mommy. And if you're going to get to where we're going, you have to follow both of them with all your heart. Only if people said, yes, sir. See, these are messages that people, I don't know why we don't like such things. I says, my son, give me your heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. In other words, without the heart, you can't even see where you're going. If your eyes and if your heart is not engaged through your father's, you can't see where you're going. God forbid that will be your portion. We need to have a complete change of understanding, a change of a paradigm shift in this regard. Because these things are so close now, real at the door. And God is watching us, you know, scanning the looking house of those who are perfect, that, you know, do what? Prove himself strong on them. You need God to be strong for you in this time. Amen. Amen. Yes. I like the prophet. I tell the house of the children, the fathers to the children, the children to the fathers. That's where we are right now. That's why this message is so prescient, so full of, you know, power and meaning. There was another word that came to me, taught from the Acts chapter 20 verse 33, give me that, where Paul was talking to the Ephesians. I just came to me and said, say, now brethren, I commend you to God, and the word of his grace is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And he said that, you know, that this is a prophetic word. But I want to also add to you that this is not just the prophetic, it's also the apostolic. He speaks about the word of his grace. Paul spent 3 years in Asia teaching. So not only was the prophetic there, but the apostolic, you know, word that was able to build them up had been released in Asia for the space of 3 years. So Paul said, look, you're complete now. You got the word, I've given you the word for the apostolic, and you also have the prophetic word, and both of them together, as you walk in there, will bring you to that inheritance that God has prepared for you. It's always the prophetic and the apostolic. Prophetic and apostolic. The prophetic cannot do it all by itself, and the apostolic cannot do it all by itself. But together, as I said, the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. A sure foundation that will not be moved. Let us take heed and let us take heart to all these things that will be said today. Amen. Okay, I think that's about it. So let's bow our heads to pray. Hallelujah. As I wrote, there's a prophetic anointing. You're not a prophet because you prophesy. You're a prophet because you have an anointing, a ministry office of the prophet. Everybody can prophesy, but it's not everybody that prophesies that is a prophet. Amen? All right. Okay, let's talk to the Lord and ask him to help us. Between this issue of honoring a prophet in our midst, recognize and following them, know the day of your visitation. I want to thank God for this house. Our mommy, who is a prophet to the house, a prophet of the Lord, prophetess of the Lord, speaks the word, and we have seen that word over and over and over again come to pass. There's no doubt, there should be no doubt in anybody's mind of her anointing. And then there's a father, our father, Pastor Woody, who breaks down the word into little bits and pieces that we can partake of. And each one of us, having partaken of that word, has seen the change in our lives, building you up, bringing you into that inheritance that we're about to enter into. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Because the glory is about to come now. On bended knees I come with a humble heart. We come bowing down before your holy throne, lifting holy hands, lifting holy hands to you, as we pledge our love to you. We worship you in spirit. Looking unto the rock from whence we are hewn, Lord, unto our fathers, for this is a time when you turn in the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And so we thank you for great grace, Lord, to recognize and to give honor unto our prophet in this house, even our mother in the Lord. And Lord God, we will not despise prophesying, but Lord, we will receive, Lord God, the word of the Lord that comes from and through her anointing, so that, Lord, as we walk therein, Lord, we will come, Lord, into the fullness of the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. We are grateful, Lord. Help us to walk in the light, Lord, and your favor. Lord God, not to despise prophesying, but to prove all things and to hold fast to that which is good. That in this day, O God, by the power of the word, the blood, and the spirit, Lord, will enter into and apprehend the fullness of the inheritance you have given unto us in Christ Jesus through the prophetic and apostolic word that comes to us. We are grateful, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's pray in the spirit. Serious matter. I don't see your hearts, but God sees the hearts. And I want to emphasize it. That word he brought to you is so true. A prophet is not without honor except in his own country. But it's not supposed to be so. Because a prophet has been sent to us to show us the way to inherit the promises. And like I said, God is watching every heart. It should not be so. So if you had any problems in that, and there's a message that I believe the Lord is giving me. I've had it for quite some time, but I've not been able to bring it forth. I'm trusting that, you know, as soon as the Lord is finished with me, I'll be able to bring that word. But the truth of the matter is, there's every tendency to despise prophets. Because like I said, they see to your heart. And if like the Bible says, and it is true, that the heart of man is desperately wicked above all things. Nobody wants their heart revealed. But if you're wise, you'll understand that God is doing it so he can perfect that heart and bring it to the fullness of your inheritance. So you need to embrace the prophetic. Embrace it. Run with it. Receive it. It might be a hard word. Many times it is. But receive it and say, yes, Lord. Let the righteous smite me. It shall be an excellent oil. It will not hurt my head. That's the attitude. And then you begin to understand that as you walk in, you begin to see the changes within. You begin to know that this is a good word. It's not sent to hurt you. It's not sent to belittle you. It's not sent to make you sad, but it's sent to build you up and bring you to the fullness of your inheritance in Christ. Never dishonor the prophetic. God bless you.